and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebupule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Before the episode, just a note to say, if you're hearing this, it means you are not on the subscriber base of the Stretch Podcast, which means you will only be getting half an episode. We do not run adverts on this podcast. We do not plan to. Our income is directly from our subscriber base. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. The subscription is 99 rands. You will get the link to subscribe on the show notes at the bottom or on all of my social media links on the bio. Until then, enjoy this episode. And I will see you, hopefully soon, on the other side. Hey, hey, Dumelang, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebupule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today, my goodness, we have Moshita Dilehlomela herself, the author of The Girl Who Survived Her Mother. And today we are talking mother wound, healing the mother wound, and it is a conversation that everybody, especially women, need to listen to. And it is by two people who understand deeply what the mother wound is and what it's about. You will recall that last year I did, is it last year or this year, guys? Because now sometimes these days, it's last year, right? I did four mother wound workshops in Limpopo, in Gauteng, in Western Cape, which was a private one. It was with private women that didn't want it to be on the socials. That's why I never really posted about it. They didn't want their pictures. They didn't want the videos. So we didn't do that. I honor clients who want that. And then I did two Zoom sessions. Yeah, so it was five in total. And Moshita wrote two books on the subject. The popular book is the one that is circulating right now. I mean, I'm sure you've seen her clips. I'm sure you've heard of her. I'm sure she's right now. She's in the air right now. And rightfully so, because, I mean, the energy of the mother, the energy of healing the mother wound in particular, is ripe, so ripe that even in my retreat, the retreat that's coming up, which I'll actually talk about a little bit later, but the energy of healing the mother and healing the heart is really, really now. So this is a conversation that, in all honesty, you want to listen to it in its entirety. You want to subscribe, even if you subscribe specifically to just listen to this one, and then you can go back to listening to partial episode. I would highly, highly recommend. Now, before I get to Mushitadi's bio and to give you the conversation, let me just do the right thing, ne? So last week there are no excuses except that relofile, like we missed it, you know? You know you get those weeks, and I'm sure you get those weeks because, you know, you guys also work, because this is a job, right? You get that week where there's just this one thing that you just drop the ball on, like ubate. I was on ubate type of week. So as usual, I had underestimated a lot of things. There's a corporate little gig that I got, and I underestimated the time it would take out of me. And then I was also sick, so I don't want to downplay the fact that I wasn't well. Even if it wasn't for the corporate thing that I needed to write something longer than I thought it would be, I wasn't physically well. I even had a bout of laryngitis. I remember the day that I wanted to do this intro, I could not do it. No, it wasn't even this intro. It was for a different episode because we then switched things around. The episode I wanted to do the intro for will air next week instead, because of just how I want November to be. And so, and also, you know, we are not a big team. I mean, it's just really three of us right now. And we're doing too many things. And Amanda is on the deep admin side. And then I'm the chief content creator. And then I have another freelancer who helps me with digital market, with social media, graphics, and a little bit of branding and marketing work. And yeah, it can be a lot, which is why I truly, truly appreciate those of you who honor us enough to subscribe, because we need every cent to make this, you know, to make this happen. But also there was another reason that we couldn't. I think it was the fever, the energy of the bokeh in the air. Remember, it was the week leading up to the win, leading up to the final match, and I think I was taken by that energy. You know, that week was incredible. So incredible that I even wrote a post on Facebook about my experience of watching the game in the park in Beaufort West and what happened after we won. And for me, it was just like, you know, I'm just sharing this experience because it was so epic. I did not see it coming that it would go viral. I mean, the post is going viral. If you haven't seen it, go to Facebook, Lebopule's work, and just scroll down and you'll see it. It went viral in a way that I completely, completely did not expect. But it's a Facebook viral, which we all know that a Facebook viral doesn't count, right? Twitter viral, yes. TikTok viral, yes. Facebook, no. I'm kidding, guys. Facebook viral counts as well. So yeah, go check out that post if you haven't seen it. I don't want to get into the details of the win of Mapoko Poko and how we celebrate it. It will prolong this already getting long intro. Okay, so I just wanted to clear the air because I remember, especially the people who are subscribed, we started getting inquiry, like in the emails. Those who have my WhatsApp were WhatsApping like, I'm refreshing the app. I'm refreshing the app. I can't get the new episode. Yeah, well, there was no new episode. And which was so affirming, because sometimes you wonder if people are actually listening, if people are into this podcast the way I am into it. So it was affirming in a way, and it was confirming. So people were inquiring Sunday evening, Monday, Tuesday, even down to yesterday, you know, yesterday being Thursday, because I'm recording this intro on a Friday. Okay, cool. Now, Mushitadi Lehlomela. All right, so I didn't know her at all. I only came across her with the book that I remember. There's a post on Instagram that someone shared, and it was then in my inbox. A lot of you guys like to send me things that you feel I need to see. I got, I think how many? I think about four people inboxing me the Moshitadi's book. And I think because you understand that I do the work of the Mother Wound, and someone did also say that if you are able to get her on the podcast, please do. It will be interesting to hear a conversation between the two of you. So yes, here she is. Personally, I hadn't heard of her. I didn't know her. So it was just, you know, refreshing to reach out to her, and she so generously and so gracefully responded. And today, and then we had the conversation, which is, I mean, you know how I feel about healing, and you know how I feel about Mother Wound. It's a big part of what this world needs, what South Africa need. I know you would automatically think, or you would think that it is the father wound and the fatherlessness of us that needs healing. Yes, that too. But more than that, it's actually the mother. And we don't get into that in detail with Mushitadi, But she will return and we'll talk about the mother wound and the boy child, which then talks to the father wound. Okay, so she will return most probably not this year, maybe early next year. And then we can just unpack that a little bit more. So healing the father wound is number two. You start with the mother, and I'll unpack this at some other time. Before I give you also the conversation, I just want to say that I have a retreat coming up in March, from the 11th to the 16th. We are going to Lesotho. And the theme is healing the heart. In fact, the theme was supposed to be healing the heart, healing the mother wound, healing the heart. But then I realized that actually healing the heart is healing the mother wound. And so if you want to deepen on mother wound healing and heart opening healing, maybe you want to consider the retreat coming up in March. Thabeng Tsa Lesotho, we are going to a place called Thababosiu in Lesotho. It is a brilliant, brilliant venue. I'm going to go visit it either end of December or early January just to get a feel of it physically. Energetically, I'm drawn to it. And I had three confirmations that it is the place for me to go to. Random people talking about it to me without them knowing that it's the place that I'm eyeing for a retreat. The thing with retreats is that the venue, the place where you're going to retreat, is equally as important, which is why you don't retreat in an ordinary hotel or a B&B. That is, the energies have to work for the retreat. The few retreats that we've done, two in George, one in Lady Farm, talk to why the environment is key. So sometimes I would say, no, I want to go to this place. And then if I get into the place and energetically doesn't quite agree, we move on. So the venue also plays a major, major role in where you retreat. Okay, now let me read Moshitadi's bio and then I can give you the conversation, and hopefully you will, if you're listening to the partial episode, it will draw you in enough for you to want to listen to the entire thing. And just a quick reminder, when you subscribe to listen to the full episode, you get all other full episodes. So you don't just get this one. You get all of them, and you'll get the rest of them going forward. You also won't have to come to Spotify or Podbean or Google Podcast or wherever you listen. There's a specific app that you'll have to download on your phone. Very straightforward, and you get your episodes there. Very easy. Well, it's technical. It's weird at the beginning, but then once you get the mechanics of it, it's very, very easy to navigate. Okay, let me read, and I'm reading from a very small print, so just bear with me a little bit. Moshitadi is a mother wound recovery coach. In The Girl Who Survived Her Mother, she details the years of a torturous relationship with her mother, maps the intergenerational nature of the trauma in her family, and reveals how she was finally able to begin her journey of healing. Today, she helps clients around the world face their most shameful question: how do I love myself when the person who carried me and gave birth to me cannot? And Moshitadi is also an engineer by profession, a profession that you all know. Hey, if you've been listening to the podcast, then you know me, you know how I feel about engineers. I mean, like, let them be, hey, they're gods. Yeah, leave them alone. Engineers are right. Whatever an engineer says, it's okay. And she left engineering to pursue other interests, entrepreneurial interests, and that sort of led her to doing what she does today, which is healing the mother wound coaching. She has a bunch of courses. She also coaches one-on-one, and you will hear all about that in the conversation, especially if you want to listen to the whole conversation. In the conversation, we cover what the mother wound is, how it finds expression, and much, much more. With that, I give you my conversation with Moshitadi. And you know what? I kept calling her Moshitadi in the conversation. Even when we were conversing, you know, online via email. On email she was conversing with Amanda. But when we were conversing online on her DMs, I kept calling her Moshitadi. But yung Moshitadi, why didn't you correct me? Even on the conversation you'll hear, when we start, I'm like, hello, Moshitadi. And she doesn't correct me. Oh, well. With that, I give you the conversation with Moshitadi Lehlomela. Oh, my God, Moshitadi, welcome to the Stretch Podcast. Finally.
Finally made it happen.
Yes, yes. Are you feeling what we are feeling with your book and with your work? It's taking us by storm. How does it make you feel?
I'm actually very surprised because I remember having this conversation with my editor, publisher, actually. And she was going through the book because she read it and she had to edit it like a couple of times and ask for me to give her context and multiple things. And she's like, your book is very good. I can't wait for people to read it. And yeah. I remember saying to her, you know what? I'll just be happy if like 100 people bought it. because I honestly just care that people with a mother wound could like see themselves through my story and feel validated and also, you know, be encouraged to do the work. And I didn't think that people would be that interested in the book. I don't want to lie. With all of this happening, I'm just like, whoa, okay. I suppose this is good because then it means that it's getting in the hands of many people that need it. But I don't think I've quite allowed myself to let it sink in that.
The timing of your book is very interesting to me. I don't know how much you know about my work, but I'm in the healing and teaching space, and mother wound has been a subject of mine the whole of last year. I did about 3 workshops. So last year I did a not countrywide. We went to Gauteng, Limpopo, and then a private one in Western Cape where we were doing the mother wound healing workshop, if you like. It was a whole day thing. And so I'm telling you this to say, Hori, the timing is impeccable. You are right on the energy vibes where healing the mother, and not just the mother as in mewahaho or me as a human, but the mother earth as well. It's kinakoya thing. So that's why you're so well received as well. So your soul knew, her, this is the time that it has to come through. So I want to say congratulations. And I also want to say your publisher is so right. I'm reading your book and a Kibona movie. It's so well done. It's so personal. Okay. I see the characters. I see your dad. I see Nkhono, you know, that crazy grandmother of yours. Anyway, before we get into the book, I mean, the topic is really about the mother wound before we even get there. So maybe tell us briefly who you are. Why is it that you had to write such a book? I know you're an engineer, which is already putting a big smile on my face.
Years ago. Yeah, so my name is Moshitadi Lehlomela. I inherited the name from my grandmother, as I write in the book. So I grew up in the village, Mamune, Limpopo, and I went to study civil engineering and I worked in that. And I was very miserable in that. And I think I'm so proud that I gave myself permission to just like, I'm going to put that behind me and see what lies ahead. But when I left civil engineering, it wasn't because of the mother wound work. I left it because I was going to pursue my creative endeavors, and I failed miserably in most of those, but I was led to the work because I was doing my own healing work and I was writing about it as someone that's always loved to write, and people sort of gravitated towards it. But then it was usually people from the US, people from other countries and not South Africa. And I remember just being so sad and thinking, am I speaking in a way that my people cannot understand me? Like, is it because I wanted to speak directly to the black girl that's growing up in South Africa.
Yeah.
But the work just, had its own momentum, and I wrote my first book, Radical Acceptance for Childhood Adversities, because I was
Yes.
doing coaching, right?
Yes.
And I noticed patterns in my coaching work, and I was like, okay, maybe I need to write a book so that other people can read that and not have to spend so much time in coaching with me unraveling that same issue so that we can just get to work. So I wrote that book. It didn't do well. I was self-published. It's hard being self-published. Yeah, and then I one day I got an email from the publisher saying, hey, we would like for you to write another book. We read your first book. And I was like, you read that book? That book is terrible. The grammar, the, and they're
It's
like,
not that
no,
bad because I
it's
read that too, by
essential.
the way, also on Kindle. It's not that bad. It's actually more of a manual. That's a teaching
Yes.
book. So I
Yeah.
understand why Ori you made it for coaching specifically.
Yes.
It
Yeah. And I agreed to write this one, and I remember thinking, oh, why would anyone be interested in my story? I'm only 33. I don't think I have the type of story that would be worth writing a memoir. But I just went with it. I think there was just something in the air this year that was just like, just do it. Just do it. And I did it, and it went into the whole editing process, and I was just like, oh, that book, I wonder if they're going to accept it as like something viable. So I just didn't have any expectations whatsoever in regards to how the book would do.
Yeah.
And yeah, we find ourselves here. So that's
Yeah.
been the journey. And mostly the rest of the story they would have to read in the book. I think I outline that sort of journey around where I come from and
Yeah.
how I eventually got to this work.
Yeah. No, of course they will have to read the book, although there are some parts that I just want you to talk about because they're just so fascinating. But maybe let's get into the mother wound itself as a concept and how you identified your own. And let me maybe give you context as well. I remember when I started delving into the mother wound teachings, which was around 5 years ago. I'm like way older than you.
You look very young, by the
I'm in my late 40s. So around 5 years ago, 2017, 2018, I
way.
stumbled upon a concept called mother wound. And so as a teacher, naturally, and someone in the healing space, I went deep and I figured, oh, okay, so my mother wound appears this way and find expression this way and that way. And so when I started bringing it into the public, into my students, I would always get, oh, no, I love my mother. Oh, no, I love
Oh,
my
yeah.
mom. I don't, yeah, you know, so I want to hear how you deal with it and also how you identified your own sense of mother wounding. How did you know you are dealing with that?
For me, it was I write in the book how I struggled with anxiety since I was like a teenager, and I had these faint spells, and it was really bad. And I was getting to a point where I was medicating with alcohol, basically. And then I went into therapy, and it was just one of those decisions. And I write about that experience in the book as well, in varsity, and how my therapist at the time was able to help me recognize that what was happening to me, what was happening in my life, had a link to my childhood. Because I would tell her these stories, and for me, they were normal. Oh, and then I went to initiation school, and then I was left in there, and she's like, you were not supposed to have gone through all of that. You were a child.
You were a
And to me, it was
child
just
at home.
normal.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
to me, it was just normal because everyone in my life had gone through that process. Am I too weak to be experiencing all these things because of the very same things that everyone went through? So I struggled with denial in that beginning, but I was able to realize, hey, man, you have to do the work. You really have to do the work if you're ever going to live the life that you want. But with what you're saying in terms of people saying, oh, my mom is the best, I used to be like that as well. I
Yeah.
used to even make up stories because I write. So I used to make up stories about this best mom and praise my mom. And then when I started delving deep and reading about the mother wound, I came across the concept of fantasized bond, so a fantasy bond as a coping mechanism. And I was like, whoa, I have that. I have that. Because the author describes it as a coping mechanism where you project good qualities on your abuser because you want to believe that they love you, right? So a whole lot of people come from that space, and I've learned to be patient with them. I've learned to go, oh, okay, and not try to convince them in any way that no, what happened to you is bad, blah, 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 because they're not ready. They're still in that denial. And they would have to transcend that in their own time. And what I find is then people come back and say, you know what you said 2 years ago? You were right. My relationship with my mom is unhealthy. And then I realize, oh, now they have the capacity to do the work. Now they're ready because
Now they're
they've dealt with
ready.
that first hurdle, which is denial. So I think also I struggled with denial, and I also recognized it in my work. But how I got to identify my mother wound was through talk therapy and having
Going to
someone
talk
say,
therapy
hey,
first.
yeah, so that wasn't supposed to have happened.
Now, mother wound finds expression in many, many ways. For an example, with you, it showed up as anxiety. With me, for an example, it showed up as overachieving. Just wanting to impress my mom in the best way. And I mean, and I discovered that she also did that for her mom, because I get mother wounding pattern. It's when we tell when I speak to my students who are no, I love my mom. I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with not loving or loving. It's about what is it that you see as a pattern in your family from your mom to her mom and maybe even backwards. And if you have a child, how are you coming across? The question is, are there specific ways that a mother wound develops? Like if, for an example, you had your type of mother, your mother who was super cold and who, I mean, I love how in the book you kept saying she would start a story and not finish it. How are other ways that a person can identify her? Actually, this could have cre been created by the mom when a mom does what or doesn't do what?
Sometimes you can't really tell that it's the mom in particular, but what I realize is the telltale sign for most people is that that relationship just doesn't feel good and doesn't feel safe, right? So they would rather tell someone else their issues than their mom, even though they're like, oh, my mom loves me and I love her, but that relationship doesn't feel safe. And that is something that they know for sure, and it shows up in the way that they interact with the mom. So that is the first layer of it for most people. But how I categorize it is through emotions. So even in my coaching and in my courses, how I do it is, okay, we are going to look at shame, and then we are going to look at guilt, and we're going to look at fear, and we're going to look at anger. And I want you to tell your mother wound story in regards to that emotion, right? And then people are then able to recognize that, oh, I carry shame because of 1, 2, 3 that happened in my relationship with my mother. But they could also find that there are other relationships in their life that also cause them shame. Could be their dad, could be their grandmother in my case
Of
as
course, or it
well.
could be in primary, you know, the children in
Yes, it
primary.
could be a teacher or something. So it could be many things, but what I do is help you recognize that it could be your mom, is then focus on those emotions and say, let's tell a story in regards to this. And also just educating people on what shame is, because I recognize that a whole lot of people cannot name their emotions. They're just
No.
spiraling out of control, and they can't actually name it, what is happening to me. Am I feeling guilty? Am I feeling fear? Am I angry? So when we categorize it and we tell those stories, then it people are actually able to then start to make sense of their emotions and also their behaviors that are as a result of this emotion.
Of the mother. You know, I'm thinking of a particular client that came to my workshops and then eventually we had a private one-on-one session. I don't
Like,
coach on mother wound per se. I'm a generalist. I'm a generalist
okay.
life coach. But because the issue was the mother and her relationship with the mother, so we were doing mother wounding. And how she had to grow up very quickly, in that her mother used to share very, very big things, like the mother would
Oh,
complain
yeah.
about a cheating father and cry on her shoulder and just expect the child to be a
Like
coach
a
or
support
advisor of
system.
some
Yeah.
sort. And that
Yeah.
scarred her so much that she doesn't know how to relate to her peers. So she's always scheming,
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
and all that. Are there other ways that some examples just to help the listener sort of piece this together? Because it's a hard concept to grasp.
Oh, it is.
Especially when you think for normal. Do you have
Yeah.
other maybe from your coaching clients
Yeah,
examples?
so people come with different stories, and how we categorize them is, was this neglect? Was this abuse? And under abuse, then we're saying, is was it physical? Was it emotional? And in your client's case, that was enmeshment. So it was emotional abuse. She was expected to do emotional gymnastics of an adult when she was a child. She didn't need to be in that story. She didn't need to be feeling for her mom and things that she had no business having to know in the first place. So that is the emotional abuse. And then we have spiritual abuse as well, which is something that we often don't talk about. But as someone like myself, for instance, who grew up in a very religious household, there was that involved as well, where a whole lot of things were done in the name of God. It's like, oh, I'm hitting you because the Bible says I'm going to hit you, even though,
I never ever
or
even
I.
saw it that way. Wait, to get to my root via spiritual abuse. Very interesting.
It is how a lot of parents who are abusive and also religious tend to weaponize religion, tend to weaponize God. God says you must respect your parents. So if I say do this, even though it doesn't feel okay for you, if I say go do that course that is not in alignment with what you want, then as a parent, I'm given that authority to tell you that because God gave me that authority. And it shows up in so many ways. My mom used to would be hitting us and calling us demons, and she would say that God told her that we have spirits that were, and it was so many ways that she used religion, that even as an adult, she was still trying to use religion as a form of abuse, and that is the spiritual abuse there. And then there's the sexual abuse as well, where it could also, when you are being told, I have coached people who would say to me, my mom would tell me about things that she does with other men, or she would bring men to the house and then they'll be having sex and I would have to listen because they're so loud, right? And that is another form of sexual abuse. It's not so overt, it's covered.
It's
And
covered
yeah,
because I
there's
mean,
so
wait,
many.
sorry to cut you. You just made me think of another client
Yeah.
who has sexual issues because she found her mom having sex with some other guy who was not
Yeah.
her dad. And when you are a child, especially under 7, and seeing people have sex, it looks like balwan. It doesn't,
Oh,
especially if you don't know anything, it
yeah.
looks
It
like
doesn't look
a
romantic
war. It
at
doesn't
all.
look like love. And
Yeah.
it took her years in therapy to actually understand what sex is about. She was terrified of it. And
Yeah.
when she, because I coach people who also go to therapy, I always prefer that it's someone who's been through the
Oh,
emotional
yeah.
dealing with trauma, because I don't deal with direct trauma. And it took her a while to warm up to having sex, and it leads back to the mother. And
Of
as
course.
she was going through therapy, it turns out for it was many, many times that she caught her mom, also not
Yeah.
because mama was abusing her directly. It's also that whole thing of living in a shack or living in a one room or whatever.
Yeah.
But as a parent, as me, you have to have the presence of mind to know that I can't actually just bring random people in the house.
Yeah, and most mothers are just thinking, oh, I'm desiring this in this moment, and that's what I'm going to get. And eventually they're going to grow up and understand. What they do not understand is that the child's brain is wiring itself around those experiences, and those things are going to make it very harder for them to navigate certain things as adults. So what I do on my Instagram in regards to your question is like, how do you see all these things? How does it form? And then I try to categorize that as well. It's like, okay, this is what abuse is, right? This is what physical abuse is. This is what spiritual abuse is. And this is also what emotional abuse is. Because there are things that I would say, things like, oh, constantly yelling at someone is verbal abuse. And people are like, no, it's not. And they try to fight that. Or because they've seen it so many times in their lives with their grandmothers and everyone, it's just become so normal. So what I do is try to help people understand that there's certain things that are normal in our society that are actually abused. There are also certain things that are normal in our society that are neglect. And there are also certain things that are normalized in our society that are emotional abandonment. So people can recognize and say, oh, one, two, three, and four happened to me. Okay, if these things happen to me, then what is it that they cause in my life as an adult? And then they can start making that connection that helps them eventually understand themselves and find the healing that they want.
Now, tell me, why does the mother wound repeat? Why does the sins of the mother repeat upon the daughter and upon the granddaughter? Why does that happen? And I know I'm asking a technically psychological question here, but
Of
just
course.
to help, I'm stretching you
Yeah.
now. Why
No,
does
it's
it
fine.
happen, and how do we stop it?
The thing is, here's how the brain works. If you're a child, if you see something over and over and over, the brain says, okay, this is the normal, right? This is safety. This is normal. This is what we know how to navigate. And whether you change environments and go to a different place as an adult and meet different people, you're going to continue those cycles because that's what your brain considers home, and that's it. You've already built a habit out of that, so it's more of a neurological issue than it is a psychological one. And also because you form beliefs around the world, around yourself, around what mothering is, what relationships are, from seeing all those things. And remember, this wiring happens so rapidly. By the time you're 7, the brain has like wired itself around your experiences. What is it that you see? What is the world like? And you're making these assumptions and these conclusions looking at your family, and the mom is the closest person to the child. And what usually happens is you become an adult who is just going to repeat those because you carry those beliefs. You've already built the habits. It just continues until you start to build new habits, which is what we do with self-mothering, to just
Of
say,
course,
hey, this is what I know, and I don't want to live like this. And it's hard. People make it seem like it's easy to build a new habit. It's not. If it was so easy, everyone would do it, but people aren't able to
Well,
do
of
it
course,
because
you
it
just,
requires, it requires time and effort and energy, and it also requires education. You
and
have to know,
awareness,
and awareness as well. So a lot of people do not have that. And what happens is those beliefs that run in the family are just the next child is going to have them, and then the grandchild is going to have them. And those habits around money, around communication. I mean, have you been to certain families where everyone just yells? And you're like, why? It's kind of loud, right? Because and it's just in their lineage. Everyone just speaks like that, and it doesn't stop until someone eventually says, "Well, I don't want to live like this. I mean, I see something different in the world, and I would like to experience this."
There will be a
I'm
pattern
sorry.
changer in the family.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
It was hard. I mean, I don't want to lie to anyone and say, oh, this journey has been so easy. I've had the time of my life. It was hard. Building new habits is hard. Having to teach yourself to speak differently is hard. Having to teach yourself to have a different sort of relationship with money is hard. Having to show up in relationships in a way that you've never seen in your family is also hard, but it's something that can be done. So that's just how it forms. This is why there's so many books on building new habits, because I think we recognize as society that we come from families and lineages that teach us a certain way of living, that only through work and practice that we can change that.
You've said a mouthful, and I want to go in two other directions, which is how the mother wound finds expression in finances, because you mentioned, you touched on that, and also how it finds expression in our relationships with men. I get it. They say that a father, I love your father, by the way, from the book. I loved how you were just holding on to him so tightly when you guys were
Yeah,
little.
he was like,
Going.
the one sane sort of, yeah,
Yeah.
but it
Yeah, he
was a
was
relationship
a
with
stable one.
own
Very interesting.
complications.
Yeah. Anyway, the point I'm making is that in when you grow up as a child, your mother, especially as a woman, you pick up how to be a woman through her. So which means that even the way you're gonna relate to a man is going to be how she related to the man. And so how does that work in with money as well? You know, if you could just talk to those two dynamics, relationships and money, as directly linked to the mother wound. Am I making sense?
Yes,
Okay.
you are. You know how people love to say, oh, we marry our fathers, and if you're going to have good relationships with men, your father is like the one person you have to look at. I realized through my work that it's actually your mother wound that you must.
It's the
It's like
mother.
your mother wound that you have to pay attention to, because your
Yeah.
mom is the first template you learn from on what it means to be a woman in the world and how to carry yourself in relationships, what to expect in relationships. And what usually happens is you most likely are going to end up with a guy like your dad because you are choosing like your mother. Not
You are
necessarily.
choosing like your mother, even
You
when
are
you
choosing.
say Nanka Sbatoba, but I don't want to be like my mother. What's
Of
up with that? Where
course.
it's like, I don't want to be like my mom, and then you see yourself behaving exactly like
Exactly like that,
her.
because that programming has already happened. So we end up with men who are like our fathers or like our mom's boyfriends or whatever, because we are choosing
Well,
like that.
this is the end of the road for you. If you want to continue listening to this episode, you will have to subscribe to the Shrek podcast for 99 rand. The link to subscribe will be found on all the show notes at the bottom and on all of my social media handles on a link tree. It simply says, subscribe to the Shrek podcast, and then you will get all the episode in full, plus bonus episodes and some of the coaching notes that I share with subscriber only. Until then, I will see you next week with another episode. Love and green lights to you.